Today's gospel, I don't know what to say. It's just plain, it's disgusting. It doesn't seem to fit. It's not even really about Jesus, you know? I mean, well, maybe it is, because Herod's actions here are in a way a foreshadowing of what Pilate is going to do, you know, soon enough down the road. So yeah, it's a great theological device, but what does it have to do with us and with our lives? It's awful and it's gross. And yet, somehow, Mark seems to need to tell it. Even more so, the scholars who created the Revised Common Lectionary seem to think that we need to keep hearing this text on a Sunday, no less, in the middle of the warm and fuzzy ordinary time of Pentecost and of all days, a baptism here at St. John's. So, all right, but before we tackle this text head on, let's take a quick review about Herod to see which Herod this actually is. Because, you know, the Herod you usually think of, right, is the obsessive, paranoid, pathological king who slaughtered all the children of Bethlehem, 2 years old and older, to try to get to Jesus, you know. In fact, Herod was so crazy that he even killed most of his own children because he was afraid they would kill him to get his throne. But there was at least one son he did not kill. And this son, Herod Jr., is the guy that we're reading about this morning. And the other son he did not kill was Philip. So when Herod Jr. had hooked up with Philip's, his own brother's wife, Herodias, John the Baptizer had called them out at every level. You know, he had said, look, this is wrong. At every, it's illegal. It's wrong. It's a whole thing is just bad. And so John's confrontations had begun to affect the royal reputation. And that is why Mark notes in the gospel that Herod Jr. has arrested John as a favor to Herodias, his new illegal wife. So, because you know what? She just didn't want to hear about it anymore. And because Herod Jr. had been spending way too much time downstairs in the dungeon protecting John and listening to him a little too much, Herodias wanted this guy gone in the worst way. That's where today's gospel picks up. She has this moment. Herod Jr. has a birthday party. She sends her own daughter out, which is Herod's stepdaughter, with this party dance, knowing full well that he's going to make some kind of grandiose statement to impress all the party guests and the leaders of Galilee, which he predictably did. So her plan worked, and Herod Jr. is now caught between this rock and a hard place of his own making. You know, because, you know, in those days, if you made an oath and a promise, that was legally binding. So Herod had no choice now but to grant whatever it was that she wanted. And the whole story sounds so crazy. It's just like, you know, you just can't make this up. But underneath all that ugh, gory detail is this basic process. Here's a person who hates someone because he tells the truth about her, which is denial, right? Here's a daughter who willingly helps her mom get back at someone and manipulate her own stepfather. Power. And here's a man who cares so much about what others think about him that he's willing to literally risk another person's neck, save his own face. Pride. Denial. Power. Pride. Now, I get it. Mark's gospel says that Herod Jr. really regretted what he had done. He had become like a pawn within his own family and with his own kingdom. And now all of it has come back to bite him all at once. And you know, when you look at that, it's like, gee, for a minute there, I don't know. I almost started to feel kind of sorry for Herod, you know? I mean, should we cut him a little bit of slack? Well, hey, maybe we should. Because if you don't cut Herod some slack, then how are we going to cut ourselves any slack for the times when we didn't stand up for our neighbors or stand up for our friend or maybe even stand up for Christ when we might have been under pressure, You know, the way Herod didn't stand up for his friend John when the platter was passed and the pressure was on. Or how are we going to cut slack for the times when Peter didn't stand up for Jesus on that fateful Holy Thursday night? And then how are we going to cut ourselves slack for all the times, you know, when you found yourself between a rock and a hard place because of your own fear of public shame or greed or anger or vengeance or lack of forgiveness or denial or any of those things about your own issues? And how will we cut ourselves any slack for any of those times that we caved into peer pressure, like Herod or Pilate or Peter, just so we wouldn't look bad in front of everybody? But you know, maybe most of all, if we don't cut Herod any slack, we can't cut ourselves any slack whenever we do the same thing that he did. And the worst thing he did of all was shift the blame. You know, Herod grieved and regretted what he did, but he did it. He blamed the situation. But you know what? It wasn't the oath. It wasn't Herodias or his stepdaughter or the party guests or the leaders of Galilee. It was Herod's own choice and command that ultimately killed John. And it was his own pride and fear and insecurity that led him to make that ridiculous promise at all. Which reminds me of all the way back at the beginning of our scriptures in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't the apple or the serpent or Adam or Eve, although they all blamed each other enough. But no. It was each person's free choice based on power, greed, fear, jealousy, insecurity. You know, do you ever wonder what might have happened if both Adam and Eve, when confronted by God, had just admitted what they had done and had taken responsibility for their own actions and apologized instead of blaming each other? Do you think that God might have responded differently? So yeah, today's gospel may be incredibly extreme, but the hyperbole is really a wake-up call for us that in life, in discipleship, it's not always going to be easy. You know, we will have those moments when it'll be easier to stay silent to protect our reputation. There will be times when we're going to promise what we can't realistically give. There will be times when we will speak without counting the cost. In our life of faith, we will face opposition to our commitment to a higher standard. People will try to cut our plumb line. We will face tough decisions about others. And we're going to face even tougher decisions as children of God about ourselves. You know? We are called to be accountable and consistent in our faith, even if it costs us in the public arena. And if we're honest with ourselves, look, we're probably not doing a perfect job of that all the time as it is. So yeah, crazy story, but tough stuff. And yet, that's not the end of this gospel. Today's hyperbolic story is sandwiched, you know, in Mark between the amazing moment of the sending out of the disciples and the extreme opposite of Herod, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. When you place today's gospel text in between those two in that larger context, it becomes pretty clear that we are still called to at least try and to know that when we make our own Herodian mistakes, we can remember, that's why Jesus cut some slack for you. When he went up onto the cross, he defended you, stood up for you, died for you, and rose for you, no matter what the personal cost to himself. That knowledge alone, you know, can help us make different decisions, can help us say different things, can help us respond to our world and holy and holy new ways. You see, because he did forgive you, you can forgive yourself. But more importantly, you can forgive each other. In fact, that's our call, to love each other the way Christ loved us first. Stand up for each other, stand behind each other, defend each other, love each other. So over here at St. John's, when Bennett comes up here in a little bit to be baptized, we, as a community of faith, are going to place this little guy in the hands of God, in the arms of Christ, knowing that he's going to be cleansed and clothed with the Holy Spirit, which will guard him and protect him and feed him and guide him, so that he, like us, can face all the Herods in our lives and even all the Herods in ourselves without fear. Because at the end of the day, only by grace can you really save face. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.